This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm T. Shell Eek with Kelly Anisa and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier in our first story, we gave you an update on the measles outbreak among the batik community in Kampung Kuala Ko. Now we're looking at junk food. Let's have a look at the results from our Twitter poll.
So we asked you, how often do you eat processed foods? 50% of you have said a few times a month, followed by 35% of you who said 3 to 5 times a week, and 14% of you said every day. Mm. And only 1% of you said never.
Okay, so Basically quite a number of you eat some form of, these junk kinds food. Of processed foods or junk foods, right? Yeah. So
kudos to those of you who managed to never eat
1%.
So, potato chips, nuggets, cookies, and hot dogs, they are chock full of salt, sugar, fat, and calories, and they can cause weight gain, and they also put us at a higher risk of diseases such as diabetes and obesity. You know, but why is that? What is it about ultra-processed foods that prime us to overeat and leads to bad health? So, in 2 new papers published in the British Medical Journal, or the BMJ, it was found that the more ultra-processed or industrially manufactured foods a person ate, the more likely they were to get sick and even die. Mm. In one study, they were more likely to suffer from cardiovascular problems. And the other study linked an ultra-processed diet to a higher risk of death from all causes. So researchers found that those who followed an ultra-processed diet ate about 500 more calories per day than those consuming minimally processed whole foods.
All right.
Yep. So why are these ultra-processed foods bad for us? So increasingly, scientists think that processed foods with all their additives and sugar and lack of fiber may be formulated in ways that disturb the gut bacteria. And this is the trillions of diverse bacteria lining our intestines and colon. So these disturbances in turn may actually heighten the risk of chronic disease and encourage overeating. Mm. So this idea sheds some light on why ultra-processed food seems so bad for us.
Yeah, but to understand why this is the case, we first have to understand what ultra-processed foods are. So I spoke to Dr. Wong Ji-in earlier. She is a senior lecturer and nutritionist with the Faculty of Health Sciences at University Kebangsaan, Malaysia. Here is a clip from that interview. So what exactly are ultra-processed foods? You know, how is it different from just processed foods?
Well, ultra-processed foods are basically industrial formulation with 5 or more ingredients, including sugar, salt, color, flavor enhancer, and other ingredients to imitate flavors of other products. In other words, it is different from processed food because it may contain ingredients that we don't commonly use in our culinary preparations, and they use additives whose purpose is to imitate sensory quality of whole food or disguise undesirable qualities of other finer products. An example is water versus soft drinks. Say, if we look into the ingredients of soft drinks, they will contain ingredients such as carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, color, some acids, natural flavors, and caffeines. So these are ultra-processed food ingredients that we don't usually use in our culinary food preparation.
I see. And why are we addicted to junk food and ultra-processed food?
Well, most junk food, what we call, what people would call junk food, may be ultra-processed food because they are usually highly processed, including 5 or more ingredients, including those that are not commonly used in our culinary preparation. So why do we like it so much? I would imagine that these food are also considered highly palatable because they have enhanced amount of salt, added sugar, fat, and maybe some use of additives. So because these food are so tasty and probably convenient, people may like them so much.
I see. So it doesn't actually have any addictive properties. It's just that it tastes so good that we just want to keep going back for more.
Yeah, I think in a way, these food, because it's so tasty, it is also appealing to our addictive food preference, where we are naturally drawn to food or supply of essential energy and protein for survival for decades. So if the food is tasty, we will naturally be drawn to it. So that's one simpler way of thinking why we like the processed food so much.
Right. And when it comes to the Malaysian diet, what is our consumption like here when it comes to ultra-processed foods?
I'm not aware of any national published data on ultra-processed food consumptions among Malaysians, but I'm aware of several local small studies that have looked at the consumption of ultra-processed food among young adults, especially university students. For example, the one conducted in our faculty among 85 university students seems to suggest that students from private and public university students, they consume ultra-processed food on a regular basis, where it can account up to one-third of their total energy intakes.
Wow, that's quite a bit, right?
Yes,
just
that's
looking
quite
at it,
a bit.
Yeah.
But if you compare it to larger studies such as the one conducted in the European Prospective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition Study, the EPIC study, it will, among 36,000 adults aged 35 to 75 years, it was found that ultra-processed food accounts for two-thirds of energy intake and most micronutrient intake. So that's a lot of ultra-processed food.
Yeah, so that was Dr. Wong Ji-in. She is a senior lecturer and nutritionist with the Faculty of Health Sciences at University Kebangsaan, Malaysia. So just to reiterate what she said, ultra-processed foods are industrial formulations with five or more ingredients. They are different from processed foods because they may contain ingredients that we don't commonly use in culinary preparations.
Mm.
So in other words, ultra-processed foods are created in factories.
There's nothing natural about them
exactly.
anymore,
they're
right?
not whole foods. Mm. You know, they're pumped full of chemicals and, you know, with other additives for colour, flavour, texture and even shelf life. Mm. That's why I think they last very long.
So long, yes.
And the processing generally increases the flavour and caloric density of the foods while stripping away the fiber, which is, you know, another important it's very important for our diet.
Yeah.
The vitamins and even the nutrients. So these foods are distinct from whole foods like apples and cucumbers, and whereas like processed foods, which isn't any better, but when you talk about processed foods, you think about canned fish and oil, which is not, they are not using any ingredients like ultra processed foods where like it's like coloring.
Right. Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Mm. Yeah, so they rely on only salt, sugar and oil rather than a range of complicated additives to preserve them or to make them tastier.
Mm.
So a lot of these foods are based on sugar, fats and ingredients of exclusive industrial use, such as protein isolates, modified starches and color additives. And, you know, that is just one of many reasons why pinpointing exactly what in ultra-processed foods may increase the risk of diseases is difficult, because
right.
it's so hard to disentangle them.
There's so many different industrial ingredients and used in varying amounts, isn't it?
Yeah, so when you think about what is wrong, the possibilities vary. It could be the chemical additives, the calories they deliver, you know, just a lack of nutrition such as fiber, which again is, I mean, very important to your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just the contaminants in them, like plastic that leach from packaging.
Oh, that's horrifying.
It is.
I never even thought about the packaging.
Exactly.
Oh dear. So I mean, we are learning a little bit more also now about the impact of these processed foods on our gut bacteria.
Mm.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, this is the bacteria, the trillions of bacteria that's in our intestines and that makes up our microbiome. It's a little bit technical here, but you know, when researchers compared the gut bacteria of mice who eat a bland, low-fiber, high-fat diet, so that resembles a Western-style ultra-processed food, when they compare those mice to mice who eat a fiber-enriched, high-fat diet, the two sets of rodents had distinctly different gut bacteria. So mice on the low-fiber diet had a marked reduction in the total numbers of bacteria in their gut and a less diverse gut bacteria compared to the mice eating the high-fiber diet.
Mm.
So these mouse findings echo the few studies we have in humans. So we haven't been able to study it as well in people. But just as an idea, when researchers analyzed stool samples from people living in less industrialized hunter-gatherer cultures, where they are less likely to be eating these kinds of ultra-processed foods, when their stool samples were compared with stool from people in industrialized countries, they actually found a strong pattern. So the further away people were from industrialization and ultra-processed foods, the more diverse their gut bacteria was.
And there's also a link between diets heavy in ultra-processed foods and harmful inflammation. So when the body's inflammatory response goes into overdrive, making it harder to fight off viruses and disease. So one measure of inflammation is a blood marker called C-reactive protein, or CRP. So researchers have found association between higher levels of this blood marker, CRP, and various chronic illnesses such as cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular diseases, and even diabetes. And people who eat an unhealthy diet tend to have higher levels of CRP in their bodies.
So why exactly are these foods linked to less diversity in the gut bacteria and more inflammation and disease? One theory is that key ingredients such as emulsifiers and refined sugars impair this our gut bacteria instead of helping it flourish. So emulsifiers are additives used to stabilize ultra-processed foods. They help the oil and vinegar in a bottled salad dressing stay mixed, for example. And another theory found that the sugar in ultra-processed foods may feed harmful bacteria in the gut, causing them to bloom. And, you know, there's still, I think, a lot of, you know, there's still so much a lot of scientists have to research. But for now, I mean, does this make you consider cutting down on your processed foods?
Definitely it does. I've already found that I don't have the palate for eating junk food anymore. I just find that the taste turns me off. It tastes too artificial. It tastes too salty. But, you know, when you read more about it and you find that it's not just what it's doing to you at that point, that if it's permanently changing your gut bacteria, to me that's scary, because it's we know more about the gut bacteria now, and it's linked to so many diseases in the body. So just by reaching for that bag of chips, I think we're doing a lot more harm than we realize.
And on Twitter we have a comment. Someone wrote in and asked, does instant noodles count? That's Nas Amin. I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. Right? Yeah.
I mean, especially instant noodles, they are processed, I feel. I mean, that doesn't look like it's a whole food.
And I think if you consider the seasoning, especially the seasoning packets that come with it. And nowadays, sometimes it's not just one packet. It's like 2-3 little packets inside. And I shudder to think what's actually in there.
But I would think that, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it also is about what you are displacing in your diet. When you eat a lot of ultra-processed foods, what are you then not eating? You are not eating fiber and other more nutritious foods, right? So, I mean, I guess in certain instances, wherever possible, if you really have to eat instant noodles for convenience sake, maybe think about what you can do to add nutrients to it, right? Put lots of vegetables in, for instance, or an egg, so that it's a more balanced meal and you're doing something to improve your diet at that point.
I mean, I think another issue that is not it has to be looked at is the price of these processed foods or these ultra processed foods. Often it's so cheap to get them, and it's just so much cheaper to buy a bag of chips maybe than to buy a few fruits. And I think that, and then that is also, it's tastier, but it's also more unhealthy, but it's also more accessible to most people.
Convenient.
And if you go to a convenience store, it's always these food items that are right there next to the counter.
That's a retail marketing tactic, isn't it?
And I mean, as Dr. Wong mentioned earlier, this food does not have any addictive properties that make you want to keep coming back for more because it's addictive. But she did mention that foods with that is addictive, like anything with alcohol, for example, or just alcohol. That's so it's for those of us who keep going back for more. I think it's just that
psychological link, right? It tastes good. It makes us feel happy for that moment, and therefore we keep going back.
I noticed that with these foods is that you get full a lot faster. So I think that's why I mean, I can see how it plays a role in our diets, like when it comes to overeating. Because, I mean, you get full a lot faster. And then once I eat chips, for example, I can't eat rice after that. I get really full. And I can see how that lack of nutrients there, how that comes into play. And Sylvester Lee wrote in on WhatsApp and asked, if a bag of crisps isn't highly processed and without preservatives and excessive salt and sugar, is it classified as junk food? The same logic applies for most food one consumes outside, especially in Malaysia. A plate of mee goreng, for example, should be considered as junk food. And the noodles are processed, the oils used is usually highly inflammatory, omega-6 rich vegetable oil, and the eggs are probably not free range.
Oh dear, what does that leave us to
exactly,
eat, right?
Yeah, and she said, I really think this question is, it depends. So the question she's referring to is our Twitter poll, which is, how often do you eat processed foods? And she said, I'm consuming a lot of butter since I'm on a mostly ketogenic diet. To most people, this would be totally unacceptable.
Yeah. You know, I guess there's no one diet that fits all. And I think it's also looking at, like our question hints at, right? How much of it are you eating as part of your daily diet? So is it taking up, and I think Dr. Wong mentioned among university students, they found that these ultra-processed foods are taking up one-third of their energy intake. So is that the right way to be getting your energy and your nutrients?
Exactly. And I mean, someone in the article, I don't remember the name, he did ask, you know, whether these foods should be regulated better in the same way that we regulate cigarettes, which is also very unhealthy.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I have an issue with policing things to that extent because foods are not the same as tobacco, where you know that the impact of tobacco is definitely harmful. But I mean, you can police foods, you could regulate and say, you know, that you want to ban certain kinds of foods, but how do you police the way people eat? If you take away a certain source of food, what else do people turn to get that that taste and that kick? There's always going to be something that we do to replace it.
And I think it's also important to remember that people of certain social classes tend to rely on these types of foods more. And so trying to police it or regulate it like that may not, like you said, may not be the best course of action to go with.
And I think another thing is to, I think the best we can do now is just to raise awareness on what harms this can have, and hope that from that people, or maybe parents especially, can actually just take that into account, and maybe from a young age not introduce too much of these food. And then maybe in moderation, I think it's always the best, isn't it? Because if you don't, if you've never tried something like an ultra-processed food and years later you've tried it for the
you
first time.
You try your first potato chip. Oh my gosh.
First nugget. Oh. Okay, I still think nuggets are the best.
No. Well, yes, moderation.
Yeah.
You know, you have to change habits rather than, I think, policing what people do. That's how I feel anyway. So if you have more thoughts, tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or look up our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Shamila Gunnison will be speaking to Cambodian artist Anida U Ali about performing as a human-sized bug. That one's fascinating. Don't miss that conversation. So to take us out, here's The Cooks with Junk of the Heart, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.